The state budget standoff is now in its fifth month. Millions of North Carolinians remain caught in the fiscal crosshairs as leading Republican lawmakers and the Democratic governor point fingers at each other over who is to blame. From Raleigh, Jeff Tiberi reports on the unprecedented approach to budgeting.
Republicans anticipated a long-term budget stalemate like this one. A few years ago, they passed an automatic continuing resolution to keep state funding in place in such an event. So when the governor vetoed the budget this past June, there was no government shutdown. But as July turned to August, negotiations were moving at the speed of an 18-wheeler that had run out of gas. So lawmakers refocused on mini spending measures. Meredith College political science professor David McLennan.
Everybody's being hurt and nobody's benefiting from it.
Trying to pass a state budget piecemeal is about as efficient as attempting to fill a big rig's gas tank with a Dixie cup. Perhaps not everyone is being hurt. Legislators approved raises for correctional officers and funding for untested rape kits, non-controversial spending measures with wide support that the governor signed. However, those dozen or so mini-budgets amounted to only about 4% of the overall budget. Big-ticket items like teacher raises and addressing a health coverage gap were set aside.
It doesn't do what North Carolina historically has done, which is the art of negotiation between two parties. So, you know, the question going forward, is this going to be the new normal or is this going to be a one-off?
This stalemate began back in June. Republicans, joined by a few Democrats at the legislature, passed a $24 billion budget. Governor Roy Cooper promptly vetoed it.
This budget is an astonishing failure of common sense and common decency.
Chief among Cooper's concerns at the heart of this budget impasse is Medicaid, the federal program that provides health care to people living in poverty and with disabilities. North Carolina is one of 14 states that did not expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act.
Many are dying because North Carolina has yet to say an important word. Yes. Yes, we will accept Medicaid expansion.
This is the third consecutive year Cooper vetoed the budget. The first two vetoes were overridden with relative ease by Republican supermajorities. Then came last November. Voters ended GOP veto-proof strongholds and handed the governor a stronger position at the negotiating table. Now, what began as a summer impasse is lurching into the holidays.
I'm surprised that the entire budget was held up over one policy issue.
Republican Senate Leader Phil Berger.
I understand and have been here long enough to know that budgets are documents that there are a lot of things in there that folks feel very strongly about, either for or against. But generally, folks look at it on an overall basis as opposed to voting for or against it based on one single issue.
For years, Berger has steadfastly remained opposed to Medicaid expansion, stating that there are too many financial unknowns. In recent months, he has touted the vetoed spending plan for its teacher and state employee raises, tax reductions, and savings for the state's rainy day fund. For a time, the Senate leader and House Speaker Tim Moore were optimistic that a bipartisan group would successfully override the veto. Then on September 11th, House lawmakers held an abrupt and controversial override vote, with most Democrats absent from the chamber. Democratic Representative Deb Butler went apoplectic.
Mr. Speaker, you are making a mockery of this process. You are deceiving all of North Carolina. Your leadership is an embarrassment to the history of this great state.
That moment went viral and poisoned the well for any bipartisan compromise. More mini budgets have followed, forcing the governor into a choice. Sign into law raises for educators and in turn lose a little bit of leverage with each signature, or veto the piecemeal spending plans and advocate for more. On Friday, Cooper vetoed proposed raises for teachers, community college, and UNC employees, calling them paltry. For now, educators are left without a raise, 500,000 North Carolinians remain in a health coverage gap, and two of the most influential elected officials in the state have yet to find meaningful common ground. Jeff Tiberi, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.